even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say Reaction Show. We are joining you after a 5-1 defeat to Blackburn Rovers. I'm Eleanor McCabe and I am joined by Mr. Michael Loft, who I actually don't think I've done a reaction podcast with for a while. So it's nice to see you, Mick. Wish you was under better circumstances, really.
Yeah, just thinking about that, I think the last reaction pod I did was after the Plymouth game. And I remember after that game thinking, like, yeah, that was quite nice, wasn't it? And we blew them away with a 20-minute spell. And, like, there was a little bit of a thawing and kind of tensions between us and Beale. And you thought, if we can beat Huddersfield and Birmingham, we've got a good chance of getting, like, a playoff push together. And, yeah, lol, that's all I can say about that.
Yeah, it's one of those weird ones, isn't it? Like, well, it's not even one of those weird ones. It's just one of those absolutely terrible ones. I think we had a bright maybe 5-10 minutes. I think that is fair to say, because I think the beginning of the first half, we definitely looked like we were pushing on from Friday. And then, well, yeah, it just all started to go wrong. I think they had a bit of a bright spell where we just weren't very reactive. And ultimately, I think mistakes from us led to their goals. I don't think it was kind of incredible gameplay from them. I think that we had some serious errors today that allowed them to have goals. I mean, I haven't seen the stats, but it feels like every shot on target they scored. I don't feel like they had a lot apart from the five that they did score. I don't know how you feel about it, Mick.
I think as well it really is worth emphasising how poor Blackburn have been recently. Like, they hadn't won in 10, they hadn't won away since November or December. I think they've only won one or two away from home all season. And I don't say that just to be, like, unnecessarily negative, but I say that just to put this into context. This isn't a game against Southampton or Leeds or Ipswich, who, when they're on their game, they can blow you away. This is a very poor Cardiff.
We were good, and then we were bad. Yeah. And we're talking about the bad now.
And it was just, I think just today, it was just a functional Blackburn team, and that's what a John Eustace side is. We saw he did really well at Birmingham, but there was nothing fancy about them, there was no frills, they were just functional. And today, that was enough to beat us handsomely, and that, to me, is the biggest concern. It's like you say, it's not like I was watching Blackburn thinking, oh, this is like liquid football and stuff like that. I just think today, in contrast to Friday, I think on Friday I went through the team and you couldn't really give anyone below like a 6.5, 7 out of 10. And today you'd be struggling to give anyone over 5 because there were just really, really bad performances all over the pitch. And I think this is just a culmination of so many different factors. I think a simple point to make is, it's quite evident that this young side, with the amount of football they've had to play this season, probably aren't up to playing two games in like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, and I think the team selection was something that I wanted to talk about, because obviously we come off the back of an incredible win on Friday. We're buzzing. You can see a real lift in the lads. Like, you have got a young side, but you can see the confidence that they were exuding. That's gonna be my big word for today. The last podcast I did, it was doldrums, which is very apt, but today's gonna be exuding. They were so confident, and I just think it's a difficult one because hindsight's 20/20 in it, and I think any of us would have been buzzing to see Roberts back in the side today. But you do question why after watching these lads in training, and I'd argue that Roberts maybe isn't back to full fitness, maybe shouldn't have started. why they are making those changes from a winning team, from a confident team, to the team that we saw today. Mm-hmm. And it's a difficult one to justify, really. I can't make my mind up on the Roberts. I think I did tweet before the match, Roberts and Clark in the squad, this means we're getting playoffs. I would like to remove all history of that. But it's difficult, isn't it? Because if they've been seeing Roberts play like that in training, you've got to question why they're starting him today, really.
Yeah, completely. I think as well, it's a general theme, I think, with Dodds, and I do have a little bit of sympathy for him. Yes, of course, he doesn't have to take the job and all that, but why wouldn't he, given the fact that he had such a good mini run in December when he took the job? But I do think, in a way, I think the success of that night against Leeds, where he put quite left field team selection, and we set up completely differently to what we'd seen. And I think off the back of that, he's thought, right, okay, now I'm going to have to create this almost unique kind of team selection and tactics for every game. And I think he's massively overthinking it. I think the team selection on Friday, it was, I know this was largely due to injuries and suspension, but it was very much back to basics. I failed the team selection and the tactics on Friday, and Cardiff obviously allowed us quite a lot of space and time in the middle. And today I think he's gone back to kind of overthinking things, and it hasn't really worked. But what you say about hindsight 2020, I agree, but you can always only judge a tactical setup, a game plan, the team selection based on the outcome of the game. You know, that's how we praise people. You know what I'm saying? So when a baffling selection gets made that then goes on to win a game, we're the first people to say, oh, well, I didn't agree with that, but it's fantastic. He obviously knows a lot more about football than me. Yeah. So it's equally fair enough to say, well, okay, Roberts might be exciting to see him back in the starting 11, but he had a very poor game. You know, and then you could also question the wisdom. I know he needs minutes at some time, but I can't be the only one that winced when he brought Clark on at 4-0 down. Then the first thing that happened, he got wiped out.
Yes.
And you're thinking to yourself, oh, we're 4-0 down, man. You know, is there any need to give him half an hour when it's just...
And this is the thing, isn't it? You look at... So Roberts was on the bench at Cardiff. Once we were 2-0 up, and I mean, the second half at Cardiff was pretty standard. Why are you not giving him 15, 20 minutes there just to stretch his legs? Because then you're starting him today and he's obviously not where you want him to be. He's obviously not got that kind of confidence back. He's not match fit, I want to say, because he wasn't the same Roberts. I mean, he is entirely, not entirely at fault. He slipped over, but the first goal comes from him today. And I think that it's just a really puzzling decision after not subbing him on at Cardiff. Why are you then just throwing him in? Why not keep rigging the team? Why not keep... I can't think off the top of my head. Who's the other person who was dropped today?
Bob.
Yes, why not? Well, there you go. They're Jesus Christ. Obviously, that 5-1 win has completely made me lose my mind. Why not keep Barr on the team? Why not give Barr 60 minutes and then bring Roberts on?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, he's been put in a position today where he's then had an absolute confidence destroying game, and you're thinking, why has he started? I think on Clark as well, why are you bringing him on when we're 4-0 down? What is the logic in that? I get that I've just stood here and talked about getting minutes in lads' legs and all of that, but at that point, shut up shop, save it for Saturday. Go, right, this is a defensive exercise now, lads. Don't concede anymore, because ultimately, by that point, we're not gonna win the game. I think we all knew once it got to 4-0 down. I think even Jimmy Ray couldn't be stood there saying we might still win this one. Once it got to 4-0, we're not winning that one. Maybe bring some younger lads on, maybe give them a bit of a run out. But someone who's been out with injury, who we didn't think we were going to see back, why risk them in a game where the 3 points are already gone? It's bizarre. I don't understand it.
It is. I think the big issue, and we were talking off air about this, about how we've got to this quite ridiculous situation. And I know people will probably be sick of us banging on about experience, and it's not the be-all and end-all all of the time. But equally, we were talking, and we were talking about how Dan Neil didn't have a game anywhere near his usual standard. But we were making the point that it's quite ridiculous, a lad who's 22 years of age, it's at the point where if he has a poor game, the rest of the team have a poor game. It shouldn't be up to the likes of Dan Neil. They should not be the experienced heads. It's like the other week I saw the club wish Trey Hume a happy birthday. It was his 21st, his 22nd birthday. And you just think to yourself, like, wow. And I don't even think of Trey Hume as an inexperienced like lad anymore who's come over from Northern Ireland, and this is his third full season of playing like football. Second of playing football at this level. And I just think that it's a general theme of we put too much expectation on the shoulders of these like young players, and they should be in a team that's supplemented by experienced players and they can thrive. And when you're having a bad game, you're like, right, okay, Dan, we'll hook you after an hour. But we can't hook him after an hour because who are we going to bring on to take on the responsibility we're expecting him to have? And it's just, as I say, and I kind of have been saying this for a while, I think the reason we've had quite a poor season is we're just expecting slightly too much of nearly every key player that we have.
Well, this is the thing, and it was said in that interview, I think, that ALS did with Gooch.
Yes.
Gooch literally pointed out that you've got young lads who are now expected to be the experienced heads in the team, and you've got young lads who are playing way beyond their years. I mean, you look at Dan Neil, I might be proven wrong on this, but you look at Dan Neil, and in terms of experience in his number of games, and how much younger he is than Luke O'Nine, despite the fact that him and Luke O'Nine actually have the same experience in terms of championship football, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those are the experienced heads who we are relying on, who we are looking to. And you look at the likes of Ekwah today.
Yeah.
Ekwah had a bad game.
Yeah.
That is just the case.
Yeah.
But Ekwah had a bad game because Dan Neil was off the pace today, and because he didn't have anyone to play off, he didn't have anyone to guide him. Those lads, when they went, and I'm not calling anyone out for this, I'm not going to mention kind of like specific players here, but when they went 1-0, 2-0 down, there was no one on the pitch to go, come on, lads, heads up, we've got to keep going. There just wasn't. There was no one cheering them on. And you can say that the likes of Pritchard was negative, that he had a go at people. But if we went a goal down, he was the first one who was jeering up those lads. He is the first one who would be like, right, come on, we've got to keep going with this. And they just didn't have that today. And as a result, when we went, I'd say more 2-0 down, when we went 2-0 down, their heads dropped and they completely, and it ended in 5-1. Like, that is ultimately the position we find ourselves in. We've gone from a brilliant match on Friday where it almost felt like we were seeing a turning point. We were seeing kind of a, all right, something's clicked here. And now we are once again in a situation where, thank God we won on Friday, because at least we're not in negative goal difference.
Yeah.
And we're not questioning relegation, but we are certainly not even in our wildest dreams thinking about being close to the playoffs at this point.
No, you're spot on that. And I'm really pleased that Gooch came out and said what he did, because, and I'm not saying this to like have a go at anyone, right? You know, like we're fan media, we put ourselves out there, disagree with us all day long, that's fine. But if we make comments as similar to what Lyndon Gooch said, we get told we're not balanced, we're negative and stuff like that. So I'm pleased that Gooch has said it, because at the end of the day, we're just dafties that do a podcast, whereas Lyndon Gooch, he's been in that dressing room as recently as August, and he's come out and said those things, and he's bang on with what he says. But I'm just pleased that someone who's like inside the club kind of is on that wavelength as well, because sometimes I do think, you know, am I going in on the club a little bit too much and stuff like that? But actually, when you see Gooch come out and say, like, look, not only have we not brought experienced in, but we have the little experience we had in the likes of Danny Bart, the likes of Gooch himself, who absolutely bleeds Sunderland, who guess what the club's all about, Alex Pritchard, who's a very experienced player at this level, we got rid of the little experience that we have, and like we keep going on about, now the responsibility that they use to shoulder is now kind of, it goes down to the next kind of generation, and now we are literally only like a Dan Neil and Dan Ballard and a Trey Hume away from like kind of being like absolute children who have such limited first team experience.
Teenagers.
And you talk about Ekwah as well. Yes, he's a little bit older, but until January 2023, he had not played a senior minute of football. He hadn't had a loan spell anywhere. I think he might have come on for West Ham maybe in like a Europa League game or something, but the point is he had very, very limited first team football. And now we don't see Ekwah as being like a youth player, do we? We don't see him as being part of his inexperience. We see him as like a mainstay, as a player who has to shoulder this responsibility. And yes, the players do have to be accountable, and I'm not saying today that they're faultless, by the way. You should not lose a game against that side 5-1. But what I am saying, I do think there's a bit of a culture where we've set them up to fail. and the responsibility has to be borne by the more senior people at the club who have made the decisions, the likes of Speakman. Because the thing is, as well, we've got Mike Dodd.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Who's a novice head coach as well, so the likes of Speakman, the likes of Stuart Harvey, like KLD was controlling the budget, the people that set this kind of like ethos of having like such an imbalanced kind of recruitment structure where the emphasis is too much on youth, they've got to shoulder the responsibility. And without getting ahead of myself, the next like few months are going to be so significant in the future of this football club, because if we don't get it right this summer in terms of the manager we appoint and the players we bring in, we could be looking at a season where it's not low mid-table, we could be in a relegation battle, and that might sound extreme, but you look at what's happened over the past few months, that's one win in nine, you know, it's relegation form.
And it's the question, isn't it? And this again goes down to our director of football, this again goes down to the person who is controlling all of this, which is, when you made the decision on keeping an interim head coach until the end of the season, if you are going to make the decision, which is what it very much looks like based on the notes that have come out this week from the fans meeting, and just generally from what we know about kind of in terms of who they like to employ, if you're going to employ a manager who is currently unemployed at the end of the season, why not just bring him in now? And I am saying, why not just bring him in now? I am asked that as a question. I'm not saying they should have. I'm not saying they shouldn't have. But looking at where we are now, would we? And I'm going to direct this question to you because I genuinely don't know the answer. And I'm not going to pretend I do. But would we have been better off if we had just gone, right, we're not going to get promoted this season, but let's bring someone in to work with the team until the end of the season and let's push for it next year? Would we have been better off if we'd taken that chance and taken that opportunity? Because I'm personally in this situation where I can see arguments for both. Mm-hmm. You don't want to start a manager off with what is effectively like mediocre, mm-hmm. mediocrity. You don't want them coming in on that. You want them coming in on a bit of a high. But at the same time, we are now in the position we're in.
Yeah.
I don't think mathematically can get relegated, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But we are definitely nowhere near pushing. And day by day, if we're talking about man management, you have young lads who are out there getting the confidence beaten out of them.
Exactly.
And at what point are they going to turn around and go, right, that's enough, we're going to bring someone else in? I don't know what the answer is to it. I'm gonna let you answer that really difficult question.
I mean, if you're expecting me to come out with anything insightful or talk sense to any degree, you're a little bit deluded. But I think my take on it is, I could understand if the Beale situation became untenable and he did need to go, right, that's completely whatever, that is what it is.
I actually personally really like Michael. No, I'm joking, I did not like him. But
yeah, I mean, I remember us doing the whole reaction show calling for his sacking after about six games or something, so yeah, great content all around. But yeah, so I get it, right, they've been caught in the hoof a little bit, because when they appointed Beale, they no way thought that so soon they'd be in a situation where it would be untenable. That's fair enough, right? And there was a temptation to bring Dodds in, but I don't think he had a sufficient body of work, either positive or negative, because he had one really successful spell and one really bad spell where he was interim manager. And so, but even so, I think that was it. You would have had a total of less than 10 games, right? That's not a body of work where you can say there's over 10 games left of this season. Was it, how many games? Can you remember how many it was when we brought Dodds in or not?
Mm-mm.
But the point is, it was a substantial number of games, wasn't
it?
You know,
it was, like, well, it's end of January, beginning of February that we sacked.
We sacked Beale after the Birmingham defeat on the 17th of February.
Right, so you're looking like two and a half months.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think you've got a substantial body of work to say either way whether he will be a success for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And don't forget that time, internally, certainly we should not have been writing off the playoffs.
Yeah.
We should not. So,
well, Dan Neil said that, didn't he? Dan Neil came out in an interview. I think you might have mentioned this earlier. He came out in an interview and he said mathematically we can still make the playoffs, so therefore we're going to still push for that.
Yeah, so, and that was even more true when we made the decision to give it to Dodds till the end of the season. And I get it, he knows the players, he's clearly a talented coach. However, if you're kind of hanging your hat on him being the guy that's going to make you challenge for the playoffs, I think that's misguided at best. Like, I look at the Birmingham situation. Obviously, it's horrible what's happened with Mowbray, a real kind of, like, unforeseen circumstances. But they've acted decisively. They've brought Gary Rowett in at the end of the season. Now, I'm not saying we should go for Gary Rowett, but he's...
It'd be harsh if we then took him off Birmingham, like, after what they have been through.
But what I'm saying is, but Gary Rowett, at the time when we sacked Beale, he was, like, available.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that he is necessarily the guy, but a man of his kind of standing who got Millwall kind of between about like 7th and 12th consistently, we needed kind of a safe pair of hands to guide us till the end of the season as a minimum, rather than think, right, we've got a novice group of players, let's give it to a novice coach until the end of the season. I think that's my kind of rationale behind it, that we've kind of, again, we've sold Dodds a bit of a hospital pass.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Like, you look at Doddsy and you feel for him because ultimately... No matter what happens next, his time at Sunderland's over.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that. That's not like I'm coming from, like, actually, I know that. No. But if you're Doddsy, you're not going back to being kind of just a first-team coach. Because any coach worth their salt, Michael Beale didn't, but any coach worth their salt comes in with an assistant manager.
Yeah.
Like, anyone does. So he's not going to get the job of assistant manager. He's going to have to go back to being a first team coach. And really, if you're Mike Dodds, you turn around and go, nah, that's a pay cut I'm not taking. That's a job like title decrease that I'm not wanting to take. And ultimately, that for me says his time at Sunderland, once the season over, is probably over unless they offer him the head coach's job. Like that, but those are the two options, really. He either becomes permanent manager, which I would have loved back in January because I did place a bet on it. But either becomes permanent manager or he goes.
Yeah.
Those have to be the two options for him. And I really feel for him because he's in between a rock and a hard place there. And where do you go from there?
This is it. It's a little bit like what we're talking about with the players. Mike Dodds is not blameless, like I alluded to earlier. But the circumstances that we've given him and the circumstances he's inherited this job have just been so far from ideal, it's unbelievable. And we're now in a really, really awkward position of, like, fans are getting, like, really sick of this. You know, like, there's, like, absolute... Like, I mean, I left the game early today, and I just don't do that as a rule. And I just got that, like, after the fourth goal. Like, I know super fans like you don't leave early.
Yeah, but I actually stayed until the final whistle, because, obviously... No, I like spend time with my dad and my granddad, so it's time to spend with them.
See, my dad wasn't even at the game today, so I didn't even have that. I was just like, you know, but... I just could not watch any more of it. And the thing is, there's so many like fans around me who are like the diehard Sunderland supporters, live and breathe it, and they're getting sick. So we're at a situation now, it's like off season ticket renewals have come out. You know, like, fair enough, your diehards will always renew. Like, I'm renewing next season because, like, I'm sad and I've got nothing else in my life, so I will be renewing. But there's so many people who maybe have only got back on board with this, how good we were last season, obviously for how you get promoted from League One. You know, if you're like kind of a bit of a floating voter, so to speak, why are you going to say anything to give you any positivity? So I agree with you. That
I was interrupting you there. We're too polite. Keep going. Sorry.
It's a very English podcast, isn't this? Anyway, so we're at a situation whereby if we do have this kind of structure whereby we are always identifying managerial targets all the time, regardless of how secure the manager's job is, we should be looking to bring things forward. If it is a manager who we could appoint tomorrow, we need to kind of do it tomorrow, because I think we just need something, a bit of positivity. I mean, we saw on Friday when we won the game, like, I had a brilliant day, like, not because I thought the win meant anything in any, like, wider context, but just because I like to see my football team win.
I had a brilliant day because Cardiff is fantastic.
It is.
Cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah.
My favourite away day, hands down.
It's brilliant. I've been before, and it is a great away day, but we just need something to kind of get behind, because that's one win in nine now, and we don't want a situation where you get to the end where you're talking about one or two wins in 15.
Well, it's... Sorry, I've started talking and then can't talk. I think I've read something that we've lost 12 home games this season.
Mm-hmm.
So that by the end of the season, that equates to probably about 50%. Like, depending on how the next two go, we are potentially looking at, we have lost half of our games at home this season. you question whether people, and I think it was it 35,000 last season?
Yeah.
That got season tickets. Are we going to get 35,000 again next season? No. I mean, it probably saves Rory, like, blushing every time he has to read out the attendance figures. Ronald, I think his name is, yeah. He replaced you briefly last week on the podcast. But the issue is, we are in a situation where today was lovely. I walked into the ground and I was actually excited to be there. I was like, oh, maybe I'll get to see. I didn't see another win, but I was like, maybe I will. I was excited to be there. We are in a situation where who is actually excited? Mm. Who actually is thinking potentially there's nothing to play for now? We are hoping that we finish as high in the table as we can, but all of us looking towards next season, and a lot of us, I think, aren't going to want to get a season ticket for that. Because ultimately, if we start next season the same way we are ending this one, why on earth would you want to put yourself through that?
We're both related to this feeling, right? For years, go out the match was a chore. Like, in the Premier League, we're in there for 10 years, great, right? But we lost most ways. Sometimes won, like, 5 home games a year. It was a chore. Then we got relegated from a Championship, minging. Then we're in League One for 4 years. Like, even the season where we got promoted, we finished 5th. And I think from when Neil came in, we won a lot of games. So I think from Neil coming in that Championship season until kind of, I'll say it was about a period of 18 months where going to the match was fun and enjoyable again. And as I say, like, I haven't enjoyed going to matches like until recent months for as much for years.
Yeah.
And I think now we've kind of had that taste of it, and it's like, it doesn't have to be a chore, it can be enjoyable, it can be something we love doing rather than doing it out of the sense of duty.
Because even when you lost, it was like, oh, this isn't a pattern. We're going to change this. We're going to do something.
And like, some things, right, which might seem like small details matter. Like, the fact that Tony Mowbray was such a brilliant guy. The fact that he was, like, such a... just an honest, kind of good, like, old-fashioned, like, man who, like, really get behind. He was great with the young players. They all loved him. Stuff like that matters. And now the whole operation just seems so directionless. And I think what I'd kind of like to go out on is that just, like, between now and the start of next season is arguably going to be one of the biggest we've had in years, because we need to turn this wheel around. We really do. And we need to
start from the bottom.
Yep. We need to be coming back in August, first game of the season, excited to come back again. Because we've seen before what happens when this fan base gets took for granted. So even when we got promoted under Mick McCarthy, 2004-05, we averaged 28,000 people, because people during the 19-point season got that sick of it. People didn't come back even when we won the league, and it took until Roy Keane taking over, and Roy Keane lit the fire under the city to get people believing and get people coming back to games again. So basically, this...
You're saying we should appoint Roy Keane as our next manager. that is what you're saying, Michael, is it?
I would like to distance myself from any remarks to that nature. But no, I think we've rambled on for long enough. But
I do want to say the positives of today. I enjoyed going to the match. I enjoyed arriving at the match.
Oh.
And also seeing Chris Riggs score. Bless him. Because he worked hard from the second he got on that pitch. Good lad, like, fair play to him. I think eventually it infected him and he wasn't great towards the end, but I thought Callum Styles was all right. And it was nice that it wasn't raining too much. And those are my four positives. Did I have four there? Do you have any positives for today? We're doing this for balance, Michael, so we're not too negative.
You've been very charitable with the weather, because I got soaked and I sit 22 rows back in the south stand. So for balance, I would like to say if the weather was shite.
Excellent. Okay, so sorry, you can scratch the weather off that list of positives.
Well, it's not raining anymore and I'm not at work tomorrow, so I don't have as many pints of Guinness as I like. So.
Excellent. Right, well, on that note, enjoy your pints of Guinness, enjoy your pints. Enjoy your bank holiday weekend, and thank you for listening.